All right. We continue with annual improvements. Michael?
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. We've got three matters to discuss with you that have come to you from the Interpretations Committee. But before we get into those, I just want to talk about one other issue that has been previously on the Interpretation Committee's agenda, but which has also been to you earlier this year. And that is the proposals to improve the disclosure requirements related to going concern and when there are significant uncertainties about going concern. And the reason I just wanted to sort of raise this up or mention it now is that obviously it was a few months ago that we last brought it to a public board meeting. In fact, it was March of this year. And I just wanted to explain that there has been quite a bit of work going on that in developing those proposals that you'd asked us to do in consultation with a small group of board members. And we are planning to bring these proposals back to you in the near future, probably September, but certainly in the near term to so that you can discuss those developed proposals further. So just so that everyone is aware that the work on that has been ongoing, and we expect to bring that to you in a public meeting shortly. Before I go on, is there any questions about that before we move on to these other agenda items? Okay, then the next item is Thomas and our annual improvements process.
Thank you very much. The objective of agenda paper 13 is to demonstrate compliance with the due process of the steps that we have taken since the publication of the exposure draft. We think that all the 8 amendments that will be included in the final amendments of annual improvements meet the criteria given in the due process handbook for annual improvements. Our assessment is included in Appendix A of the staff paper. We also think that the amendments should be finalized without re-exposure. The proposed amendments for which the ISB identified substantial issues from the comment letters are no longer included in this cycle of annual improvements. These issues were the issue on IS1, current non-current classification, IS7, interest paid that is capitalized, and IS12, recognition of deferred tax assets for unrealized losses. We recommend changing the effective date of the amendments to July 1st, 2014, because we are planning to publish the final amendments in the fourth quarter of this year. We recommend that the effective date, 1st July 2014, should also apply for the amendments to IFRS 3 on accounting for contingent consideration in a business combination. Now that the amendment will make not only a consequential amendment to IFRS 9, but also to IAS 39, we see no longer a need to link the mandatory effective date of the amendment to the mandatory effective date of IFRS 9. Finally, we think that we have met all the due process requirements to date. The confirmation of the due process steps followed is in Appendix B of the paper. We asked the ISB members whether they agree with our conclusions and recommendations and if we can start drafting the ballot of the final amendments. Consequently, we want to ask the ISB the following 5 questions. First, does the ISB agree that the amendments to be finalized as part of the 2010 to 2012 cycle of annual improvements to IFRSs meets the criteria given in the updated due process handbook for annual improvements to IFRSs?
Do we agree?
Yes.
Yes.
Can I ask something?
Yes, Steve.
I do agree, and I've got no problem. But it just reminded me reading this about an issue I had with operating segments and IFRS 8. So I don't disagree with the change that we're making in terms of the reconciliation. I think it's perfectly logical. It's an inconsistency that sort of remains. Just a wider question, if I may, about IFRS 8. We've been chipping away at IFRS 8 in the disclosures for some time. So we had segment liabilities, and we took that out, and then segment assets, and we sort of took that out unless it's reported the chief operating decision maker, and I didn't like sort of the direction we've gone in, particularly given that it's an area that users often say we want more disclosure. And then we had some stuff in financial statement presentation, and we've given up on that. We've done the post-implementation review, and nothing has really come out of it. So do we have any plans to do anything on segment reporting in the future? Is there any way in which we could reverse the trend of having less segment information?
Well, we are planning to bring, as I mentioned yesterday, a paper to the board later this year, following up on the post-implementation review of IFRS 8. So there were a number of items that were identified in there for further investigation. Some of them might be appropriate for a near-term narrow scope amendment, and included in some of the things that were identified were some more explicit requirements for specific disclosures. So from a sort of a general perspective, yes, we are planning to bring that to you later this year with an analysis, a further analysis of those items, to ask you whether this is something that you want to take on in the near term or not take on. I mean, there's no presumption that we'll make amendments out of the post-implementation review, but we are going to bring that to you later this year.
Just in the feedback statement on the post-implementation review, we also identify the type of thing like liability and like the number of segments, because people said specify, and they said, well, that's inconsistent with a more principle-based, and they said, we want more detail, but you don't want to be, that conflicts with us, you're too prescriptive in disclosures. Those things are actually quite general issues that we're worried about, and we've identified in the feedback statement that we should try and feed those into the more general discussions about disclosure when we start to look at IS1 and 7 and so on. So think about those, because I think they will affect IFRS 8 as well, potentially. So there are sort of two things. There's the short-term thing that Mike is talking about, but the more general issue about how much detail you get in a segment report, I think our disclosure discussions and more general research is the right place for that.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, continue, Thomas.
Just one question.
Oh, Philip.
Just to refresh my memory of the content of those amendments, regarding Amendment 4, reconciliation, on page 15 it says, under A31, clarify that the reconciliation of this total of reportable segment assets with entities assets should be disclosed if that amount is regularly provided. What is that amount? The reconciliation or the total assets or... I presume that the total assets of the entity are always provided to the chief operating decision maker because it's part of the financial statements.
This
what is that amount? It's wording of this paragraph.
Yes, I'm working from memory. I don't have the amendments in front of me, but I believe this was whether the segment assets are reported.
When segment assets are reported, right, then they should be reconciled. Okay, yeah.
Okay. Next question. Does the ISB agree that the amendments to be finalized as part of the 2010 to 2012 cycle of annual improvements to IFRSs do not need to be re-exposed before finalization?
Mm-hmm. No disagreements.
Okay, next question. Does the ISB agree with changing the mandatory effective date of the amendments to 1st July 2014?
Agreed.
Okay. Next question. Is the ISB satisfied that all required due process steps applicable so far have been complied with?
That's the case.
Yes. Okay. And the last question, does the ISB agree that we can proceed with the drafting and the balloting of the final amendments?
Yes.
All of the questions, thank you very much.
No dissent.
Dissent. Common question.
We already noted you.
Thomas, when do you plan to bring this to over for the draft balloting? In August or in September?
September.
Yeah.
you're going to take a summer holiday?
Don't ask me to ballot when I am on my boat, because the boat is balloting like this.
Okay.